Radio Free Cybertron, the original Transformers internet radio show since 1999.
I act like that's an accomplishment.
You're watching Radio Free Cybertron. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 382. It is September 10th, 2014, and I'm XV, not Brian Kilby, thankfully. Brian is out with a case of strep throat or syphilis or something, I forget which.
Strep diarrhea,
I like that. But I'm here to lead the show into disaster, as typically happens when I take over hosting. to help me along that road, we have, of course, Rob Springer, who is not on video.
Yo.
John DeLuna, also on audio. Melvar, Headmaster Don. Amy's back with us for the first time in months.
Hello.
And, of course, we have DieCast. And Kilby's actually there somewhere off mic running things.
I'm producing.
Shut up, Kilby.
It's not strep diarrhea.
But it was so much better diarrhea. When it was. It was so much better when it was strep diarrhea, because that's just the greatest concept. Okay, so this week on our website we have the Return of Superhero Time, which I was involved with. To paraphrase Hey Mickey, the Return of Superhero Time gives us back the only tokusatsu podcast brave enough to open 4 minutes of Perfect Strangers discussion.
Perfect Strangers pretty much is a toku show, isn't it?
Yeah.
That bulky guy, that was a practical effect.
Yeah, you know, if they were doing Perfect Strangers today, Balky would be like all CGI and composites.
Ironically, not that long ago, I was watching Godzilla versus Ghidorah, the 92 version. And you remember the android from the future that was helping out? That totally would have been bulky in today's society. Like, he'd have been just the robot from the future.
I keep imagining this chameleon from Doctor Who.
I've never watched that.
Balky kind of is like, you know, a Japanese monster name anyway. Oh no, it's the Balky!
I see this being like Mazinger Z, but Perfect Strangers.
In all honesty, King Caesar looks a lot like Balky, so we might have something here.
Actually, Brian, it's Transor Z, not Mazinger Z.
Thank you.
Mazinger's such a stupid name. Hey, who's that? Mazinger.
Yeah, Mazinger. Aren't you glad you came back, Amy?
I missed it. What can I say?
Amy, did you ever watch Perfect Strangers?
I did, but it's been a while, so I'm like, I can't remember. I just remember the... Yeah, Balky was... He was fun. He was... Yeah.
I just remember Perfect the bass Strangers. Line, you know. Dun, 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 dun. That's Smoke on the Water. Never mind.
To be fair, though, I haven't seen an episode of Perfect Strangers since I was about 9, so my memory is a little too.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, reruns of Perfect Strangers. Yeah, no. Why was this on so long?
6 seasons, right?
A long time for a show no one wants to watch reruns of.
I know.
Like, oh, it's on DVD. Why?
Only the first nest.
I know.
I want to see reruns of Amen. I don't want to see reruns of Perfect Strangers.
There might be fans out there. I mean, you know, Don likes Braves, so...
Don is the fan.
Wait a minute. How do you get from something as awesome as Brave to an admittedly good show as Perfect Strangers? That was kind of a backhanded compliment there, DieCast. I don't know. I don't appreciate that.
It's pretty much the same show, isn't it? I mean, in Brave, a spirit comes from outer space, and it's a robot. In Perfect Strangers, a spirit comes from somewhere, and it's Balky. And they fight evil. It's a made-up word, just like most of Brave stuff. And they're like, they say a bunch of nonsense before they do anything, you know, just like in anime. Guys, I cracked the code.
So also on our website this week, we have Rob's blog on the history of Transfandom, which unfortunately I did not have time to read before the show to give any comment on that. But given how long Rob has been around and all the things he remembers, that's got to be a pretty good read.
The Book of Blood, Chapter 3, will go up soon, I promise.
Groovy.
Yeah.
So this week on T-Formers, Transformers Primacy number 2 was reviewed by Rob Clay. I didn't read it, so I can't comment on that either. The comic
I should buy that.
Rob always writes good reviews.
Then we'll buy that now.
So on the show this week, besides discussion of our preferences in old sitcoms, which I always love as a discussion topic, we've got the news, as usual, and two Q&As with Rob Springer.
Exactly. Another one about Perfect Strangers.
I suppose these days it's Q&A with everybody, but mostly Rob Springer.
It's Q&A with RFC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's Q-A with RFC.
Oh, is that the one I said I know an answer to right away?
One of them.
All right, cool.
Can we make that the official title, Q the A with RFC?
Yeah, Q that A.
Yeah, Q that A.
I'll tell you.
And of course, Kilby reminds me to let you all know, go visit and like our Facebook page at facebook.com/TFRadio and follow us on Twitter at TFRadio. And you know, you can also subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/TFRadioNetwork because I pick out great account names.
I love you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we do figure reviews, so, you know, mm-hmm. Subscribe.
Yeah, that happens too. All right, so let's get into it with This Week in History.
Computron 2 just sent us a question. Three questions for Q that A.
Okay.
Okay, it rhymed. You're going to try to talk. I'm not letting you.
I'll manage. I'm used to this on Superhero Time because nobody lets me talk there either.
Who's ready to cue that A with RFCA?
Don should like this. In 2001,
uh-huh.
On September the 8th, yeah. Robots in Disguise premiered with the episode Battle Protocol.
Yes.
That was a good day.
Don, do you have fond memories of this to share with us?
Actually, I do. mainly just because I heard Neil Kaplan's voice and I recognized him as one of the people from Digimon 02, which is one of the few things that I remember fondly from Digimon 02. But it was fun. It was an interesting take on Prime. I was very happy to see it come over. I'm sorry I had imported the toys 6 months prior when they were sitting on the shelves.
That was a triple.
Yeah, I got Fire Convoy and Gigatron before Robots in Disguise was revealed to be happening, and yeah. I didn't regret it because I had the toys in advance, right. But I mean, I can understand why a lot of people were kind of a little ticked off after importing the entire Car Robots line prior to that point.
I had Fire Convoy, the Three Robot Brothers, JRX, pretty much the entire first wave that was released in Japan, I got over the course of a month.
You got JRX? Did yours come with okay paint? Because I kind of heard that was kind of hit and miss.
I've still got it. It's still fine as far as I know. It's no problems.
I have a kind of an odd memory of that time when that first episode of Art Robots in Disguise. And this isn't one of my funny, haha, I just burped and snuck into Walmart stories. You know, did any of you guys have the Cinosaur videos of Car Robots prior to it coming out?
Actually, I think I had one or two of those.
Yeah, I still have them, but yeah, I had those too. Well, Wave 2 of the toys came out right as it was premiering on Fox, right at that same time. And, you know, I remember watching it with my roommate on the Cinosaur videos, and it's kind of cracking up over the silliness of it. And, you know, of course, that first episode come on, and, you know, I remember he was going to work that morning, and he was like, that's so stupid because of the theme song, you know? Well, and we all remember the first episode, right, where Megatron flies through the building?
Right.
Well, a few days later, you know, I was just out of college. I was working at Office Max, and I had the next day off work. So to enjoy my day off work, I went out toy hunting and found Wave 2 of Robots in Disguise, which we know is like Wind Shear and Hubcap Wrecker Hook and all that, right? Mm-hmm. So I come home, and I'm actually like just totally geeked up and happy to find these toys. So I pop in my Cinestar videos and watch these episodes. I'm goofing around my new toys, and I just can't. You know how you'll hold these figures and you just kind of got like a vision of, you know, like them doing something in your mind where you're holding like, oh, he could be shooting or whatever. I was holding a Windshear Jetfire, one of the Skyfire, whatever. And like, I just couldn't get up because I was watching the episode of Megatron flying through the building. Like these two planes, like, man, what, they just flew into a building and like just flew into a building. And like, it just would not get in my head like them attacking by flying into a building. Well, I'll go to sleep, okay? Because I've been up all night. And the next morning, I get woken up. My mother's calling me. And I answered her phone, and she's like, telling me I need to go buy gas and all sorts of crazy stuff. And I'm like, why? Why? And she's like, we're fixing to go to war. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, well, turn on the TV. You don't know what's going on? No, I'm asleep. And I turned it on, and you know, it was like, do you see this? I was like, Scooby-Doo? So I turned the channel to news. And, oh, guys, it was 9/11. Yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
So basically, the night before 9/11, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if two planes flew into a... Yeah, creepy.
Way to go, Rob. So in 1985, also on September 8th, Joanna LaFuente, colorist for number of IDW Transformers books and the series colorist for More Than Meets the Eye was born. So happy, slightly belated birthday, Joanna.
And then she went to a McDonald's.
So let's get into the news.
That went so well.
I know. Horrible stories always work.
So we have out-of-package images of Generations Chromia from Chinese eBay auction.
Do we?
And Chromia is a pretty heavy retool of Transformers Prime Rid RC. To, like, an amazing extent. You guys all look at this yet?
Nope.
Yeah, a little bit. When I was at BotCon, I was with some friends while we were walking the room, and they actually, and I didn't even realize it was that RC mold at first. I thought it was something completely original because it was just so extensive, it just didn't click with me. That was the base mold.
Yeah, like, I could see the similarity to it, but I assumed it was a case like Energon Starscream or something, where, like, the engineering and some of the design details were kept from a previous toy, but it was still all original. But like, people did like detailed comparisons, and there is a lot of that original toy still in there. They just like put a bunch of new parts on it and made it something completely different. It's pretty amazing.
What would you say, like 80% of that is remolded, or it's got to be close?
It's 50 or 60 times. I would think. Because, like, beyond a certain point, like, the conventional wisdom has always been beyond a certain point, it's more costly to retool a toy than to just make a new one from the ground up. And, I mean, that information is years and years old, and the math has probably changed a little bit with the economy doing what it has. But, you know, beyond a certain point, it still has to be more feasible to just make a new toy than heavily retool an old one.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
But I mean, it works, and it's going to contribute to having three female Transformers toys in Generations in a short stretch, which is pretty amazing in itself.
I wouldn't believe that if you said last year, like, hey, we're going to get three female Transformers this year. I've been like, no way. Yeah,
considering how long it's taken us just to get RC alone.
Yeah.
Well, didn't Don relate to us a story from BotCon last year along that line?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, to the weight, and you'll be happy.
Uh-huh. So, Don, are you happy?
I am very happy. I find it somewhat ironic that Hasbro's main competitor in the U.S. is not wanting to release the color Zord. Originally, they weren't going to release the right color on their Zord because boys don't buy girl toys.
Yeah, Hasbro is like coming out ahead of the curve on breaking down those barriers,
exactly.
And everybody else is going to have to start catching up.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, because My Little Pony is only for girls, right? Sorry.
My Little Pony is the number one drive of Trilby sales today. Internet fact.
Trilby?
It's like a fedora, but not quite.
Oh, okay. In other words, we really don't want to take up for these guys and their sales.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, we have these three female Generations toys coming out, but thanks to More Than Meets the Eye, all I'm seeing is disappointment that, hey, where's the Nautica figure? Because that's what I really want at this point.
And I'm sure we'll see a remold of one of these figures as Nautica eventually.
Yeah. People are speculating it'll be a Windblade remold. But I think that's just based on having the hover fans.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's actually going to work in practice, though. What's notable is that when Nautica was debuted during Dark Cybertron, one of the artists said that this was not based on a toy concept. This was an originally designed character. So this isn't something that's probably built into any existing toy right now. But for what they did with Prime RC to get Chromia, who knows?
Yeah.
What's the chances it's just going to be Thunderblast?
Well, she does transform into a submarine, so...
It's not different enough.
She transforms into a block of disappointment and sadness.
Oh, no. So
speaking of Generations toys, Hasbro Toy Shop has started shipping out some new Generations toys and a few of the new movie toys, such as Slog. Interestingly, though, Diecast can attest to this himself, even though they're shipping out Nightbeat, G-Axis, and Crosscut, Windblade has not been reported as shipping by anyone I've seen yet.
Yeah, and that's confusing because it's in the same assortment, it's in the same box, and XV, like you were saying, well, maybe they got a lot of Windblade single orders, but Hasbro Toy Shop is also charging shipping on these orders, so it's not like they could have just ordered one. They would have had to have ordered at least multiple of Windblade or Windblade with the rest of the crew. I just don't understand why it's not shipping with the rest of them.
Well, it could have been when the orders went up, people were just waiting to get that one figure. And then, for example, maybe she was up and the rest of the wave wasn't available or it was a later ship date. And then when everything started getting aligned and being shippable at one time, that's when your set order started coming in.
Well, the pre-orders for these, the pre-sales only started like a week and a half ago. They only went up on Hasbro Toy Shop in the first place less than 2 weeks ago.
And I ordered right away, thanks to Nick, who's usually in the chat. He lets us know as soon as the things go live. I mean, he's amazing at being able to make sure we know right away as soon as they're up. Like, if stuff goes on HLJ, like the exhaust went up on there today along with Star Saber. I mean, he knows almost immediately when those things go up.
Nick is awesome.
Yeah.
Shut up, Kilby.
He is, though.
I'm not denying that, but shut up.
Diarrhea.
Along the same note, Generations Leader Class Jetfire was sighted in Virginia. Don, was this you?
No. Believe it or not, Virginia is a fairly large place.
No, it's not.
No, Don, you live in all of Virginia simultaneously.
I'm not your mom.
Ouch. Double ouch.
But
that's not true. I live on the west side.
No, I live on the west side of nothing. The other
on the
side
west
of...
side.
Yeah. Anyway, I have been checking around. There is nothing locally. It is sold out at Kmart.com online. That's something you don't hear too often, do you?
That's the other weird thing. It's showing up at Kmart first.
Yeah.
What's a Kmart like? They are gone from Georgia.
Well, you must. So Rob, what do you remember Kmart being like when they did exist in Georgia?
A pile of crap.
See, they're still the same in the places that still have them.
You see, when we went to Shardicon last year, that was like the first time I'd been in a Kmart in like a year or two. I was like, wow, yours don't smell like feet.
I forgot about that. Me and Rob Clay went to a Kmart, which had like literally everything in the store on some percentage discount, but the employees were like, oh no, we aren't closing.
Ironically, that one we went to in Charlotte was not that bad. All of mine were pretty crappy, like brown, like yellow floor, and like, I mean, admittedly, you could find a toy from like 1984 sitting on a shelf for the same price, but you know, I mean, it was just crazy. Like, you mean you couldn't catch Ebola from the snack bar?
Well, now in close to where my mom used to live in Greensboro, North Carolina, that Kmart is closing, and they have the Voyager 2-pack with Grimlock and Optimus Prime on clearance down to $44. But, you know, they're not getting any new product, and the only Kmart I have locally is a Big K versus a Super K. And nothing as of yet in my area, but I am still checking around that.
I haven't even seen a Super K in like 15 years.
Super K was kind of a ripoff anyway, because like the same Kmart down the road from me changed their sign to say Super Kmart. Same Kmart was not Super.
I'm so worried about Jetfire shipping because I've got him ordered from three places. That way, I could whatever one ships first, that I could cancel the other two. But I know they're all going to ship on the same day.
Yeah, if they all go to shipping at like 5 a.m. on the same day, you're kind of.
Oh, and here's the thing,
there, dude.
Yeah, here's the thing, Diecast. You bought three versions of Age of Extinction. Wouldn't you rather have three copies of Jetfire instead?
He makes a good point.
Well, if he bought it from Kmart, he is getting Age of Extinction toys.
Yeah, because there is Kmart's website's tendency to not give you actually what you ordered, just something. Yeah.
I did not buy Monster High dolls. What in the crap is this?
Well, actually,
I swear.
A friend of Paladin and myself ordered the Human Alliance Barricade off Kmart's website and got Jazz. Three times in a row. Or two
times. Well, they're close. I mean, they did do Barricade as a Jazz mold.
They both have four wheels. They're close.
They were from the same assortment, though, is the problem. Kmart's website sells by assortment, not by individual item. So, it may say one thing, but if that specific item is not actually in stock, they will give you something else from that assortment of equal value.
So does HTS, which is kind of, that's sort of a worry with me that if I have a defective problem, I may not even get the same toy back. So
yeah, you probably won't. They tell you this.
Yeah,
I bought a Primal Rage toy from Kmart in the year 2002.
So, moving along, we have a new color photo of the small Saber robot from MP24 Star Saber. And yep. This is looking really nice.
It's a smaller robot. It
goes into the chest, makes a face.
Through magic.
Through being a friend.
If you put three more jets on it, it could be Superion.
If you color this in, black and purple, it could be Overlord.
Indeed.
Guys, we're getting a Bumblebee, and you darn well know it.
We are getting a Bumblebee, just not from this mold.
Yes, we are.
Starbee.
If it was 2004, its name would be Prowl.
What?
Every toy's name was Prowl in 2004, man.
Well, I have to say, this is really shaping up to be, I think the masterpiece. Again, as we said last week, it's going to be kind of niche.
Masterpiece of crap.
It's a Transformer.
I like the way it looks. I just wanted to use that and say.
Rob, whatever you're smoking, go back to smoking it. You're not smoking enough, I think.
I'm going to smoke this here Goofy juice right here.
But it's definitely
a good show now.
It's definitely shaping up to be a stellar piece.
I don't think it's as niche as you think it's going to be anyway, Don. Because I mean, the masterpiece is a collector oriented line anyway.
Right. Well, I mean, as far as it's not going to have as much universal appeal.
It's a niche within a niche.
Wait, were you arguing with me last week that Star Saber was going to be better than or sell better than Magnus?
No, I was talking about. If you look at total numbers between Magnus U.S. and Magnus with the U.S. release and the Japanese release compared to Star Saber with the U.S. and Japanese release, Magnus would sell better probably in the U.S. and Saber would probably sell better in Japan.
I don't think they're going to sell Star Saber in the U.S.
Well, I was
at Walgreens.
At the right things are going
everything now, so
I'm not going to complain if that happens, guys.
Would the Collectors Club sell it, or is that kind of a waste of time?
Well, they might bring. They did have that. They did have that with eHobby, so it's possible that we'll see it through a direct connection with Takara and the Collectors.
You might as well import it though, because
I mean, it would be the same price. The only benefit to Toys R Us with the large ones is that it's usually like 30 to 40% cheaper than importing from Japan.
But I will say this, if we got it through the Collector's Club, it would have a hell of a box.
Maybe.
It would probably have the same box, though. It would be the Japanese toy. There wouldn't be any packaging change.
Oh, that's true.
I was saying $250 if Transformers Collector's Club would sell this. Oh. Easy.
They're going to add theirs.
Probably around $200 because the retail price puts it around $160, I think.
That's fair.
Or a little less because the exchange rate's actually pretty good right now. You know, but like the Collector's Club doesn't even mark up the Cloud figures that much.
That's true.
Hey, those jorts don't buy themselves, man.
I'm surprised they're selling the Cloud figures.
All right. You guys ready for
Pac-Man? Yeah.
I got a Saber for sale.
They have the connection with eHobby to do it, though. So, I mean, they might as well.
Well, actually, Scaleface brings up something that I completely forgot about. The existing was the black Robot Masters version.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot that completely existed. So that could be your eHobby in right there.
They're going to make a black version of it regardless. That's just a Takara thing, usually with their leaders.
Hopefully, if they do, they will deco it as pretty as the black Rodimus Convoy.
Yeah, I hope so, considering it's a top-tier toy to begin with.
That was a really, really nice deco for a black redeco. I would really like to see that applied to something smaller and less horrible that will break as soon as I look at it.
Hey, was Star Saber ever used in Brave, Don?
No, his mold was not one of the ones that carried over.
Because I was about to say, that would make a great eHobby redeco if they did that. But never mind. Never mind. They could say it's the Brave version and call it
Let's
like...
go ahead and jump over to third-party news. So first, just for everybody's awareness, we found out there's going to be an oversized knockoff of Masterpiece Grimlock. Probably in response to all the third-party Dinobots that are, you know, so much bigger than Masterpiece Grimlock. So this way, if you want to track down one of these knockoffs and, you know, support that, you at least won't have to put platform shoes on it to put it with the other unofficial Masterpiece Dinobots.
Wait.
A lot of people were asking for this, so here it is. I mean...
Yeah. What did they say? It was about 20% bigger than the original?
Yeah, and there's also going to be third parties that are actually apparently going to be doing a Grimlock. So
yeah, Fans Toys I think is putting a Grimlock at the end of their lineup.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure Giga Power will have their own as well.
Most likely.
Guys,
I can't even remember all the names of the companies that are doing Dinobots at this point.
There are
so
eight or nine different sets.
Don't count out Church's Chicken, man. They're going to put out the best one yet. Mm-hmm.
Church's Transformers.
Church's Chicken.
Happy Meal Premium Masterpiece Transformers.
So far, I've got Classics and Fall to Cybertron and Animated and the knockoffs. Oh, there's G1, of course. Oh, good. Robots in the Skies. You know, we needed that one knocked off. AOE already. All right. That looks pretty good, actually. It's got wings.
We know already at least one regular retailer is not going to carry this. So if you are interested, you probably will have to do some digging to find one. But probably don't count on that from the usual suspects. Hey, guess what? It's a new week, so it's time for a new third-party combiner.
Yay!
Unique Toys is doing an Abominus. Which I actually can't complain about because nobody else has done that yet.
I totally want this knockoff AOE Grimlock.
There's a Scuttlebutt that Mastermind is doing an Abominus next.
Oh.
Of course. Yeah.
What?
So you got two.
I'm sure Fans Project has one in the wings as well.
Oh. Crazy how many.
Yes.
Me not being the non-toy collector person, I've heard a lot of combiners coming out. Jeez.
It's just the same one over and over from different companies.
Yeah.
Well, 2015 is the Combiner Wars, so
it works out.
Well,
we all lose.
I was really hoping that they would learn from the Predaking thing, but they haven't.
Nah. You know, it's going to be to the point where we're almost going to be like, you know, can we get something that doesn't combine?
Well,
no.
Real talk. Did all those Predakings sell really good?
Did they sell out?
Did some it sell of them. Out? Some well, then they're them. Probably going to be like, why wouldn't I do this?
Yeah, well, it's like I've said, I would, you know, in one of the upcoming
ow, ow, ow.
And good job, Massey.
Y'all want to see Don's owl face?
So anyway, what were you saying, Don?
I was saying, you know, I'm glad to see them branching out with the news article we have coming up. But now, if they're going to branch out into these other combiners that we haven't gotten, then everybody does them. We're not really gaining anything. We're not gaining any diversity. It's all being done in the same batches.
Yeah, leave the church's chicken to make one, man.
We treaded on this topic a lot, but I mean, third party's kind of collapsing into a singularity, and it's not going to come out the other side.
It's so bad, your mom is saying, "Dang."
Yeah. Oh, no, you didn't.
Well played.
Oh, no, you didn't.
So, Fans Project is apparently working on something, too, which isn't an Abominus. But I do want to compliment Unique Toys on their choice of first team member for their Abominus, because who would think you would lead with Blot?
Rob.
Wow.
Okay, well.
Lead with
this character, right? This looks really nice, too.
Yeah,
it does. It's bigger than what I would really like to have. Like, they're moving towards Voyager size with the combiners, which I understand for making the combiner itself a certain mass. But, like, the individuals, I don't usually want to be that. I see Blot as being a short, wide dude, not a, you know, Voyager size tall dude.
Well, when you walk, what gets first there? Your nose. Lead with your the groin will lead with its nose.
They really should have used a different font to write that name.
Comic Sans all the time.
Yeah, I mean, its name is Ordin, the Abominus, but the font they use, that O sure looks like a G.
You know, once again, Rob's naming system will be the correct one. Sophia, John, Earl, Cecil. Because we leave them up to their own thing, and we get stuff like Hegemon. You can tell me what it means all you want, but I'm still going to look at you like, what did you just say?
So Fans Project at
here comes my smart Robin.
A toy show in Singapore, there was a lot of new third-party stuff shown off, and Fans Project had a poster up, which teased either a Dino King or a Monstructor that they're probably working on now. But what most people are not catching on to or is not being like widely circulated, there's also a Diatlas in one corner of that.
Your mom's not catching on.
I thought you were going to say my mom was Diatlas.
Your mom's no smart Robin.
But yeah, I'll be honest. Dino King is one of the... I do have Monstructor. I got the U.S. version. Back in the day, but I never was able to pick up a Monstructor until they went absolutely through the roof. So I'm definitely interested in a Monstructor. I mean, in a Dino King recolor of this figure. I'm just hoping, you know, I won't have to wait. You know,
I'd honestly probably be down for both.
Well, it's
if I were to guess, I would think they will lead with Dino King. Because Fans Project tends to have a preference towards the Japanese portrayals of stuff.
And
you know, Dino King was the version of those molds for the Japanese market.
And all right, real talk. Go ahead, Doug. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Fans Project, please stop announcing new stuff. Finish what you've told us that we were going to get. There's figures that are supposed to come out that I'm waiting for. Yeah. So please finish my Bone Crusher.
Nope.
Whoa.
Skull Cruncher. I'm sorry.
Skull Cruncher.
That's safe. Whatever they're going to call it, they'll probably call it Bone Crusher.
Bone Bender.
No, because Bone Crusher is a Transformer name.
Yeah. Tight pants.
Yeah,
they should use real names applied to completely different like homages just to see if that is that Roger. Okay. Yeah, just call Quick Switch Bone Crusher.
Space Roger.
Yeah, but definitely, and I would like to see all these companies, especially Fans Project, give us some more news on a regular basis so we can keep up with everything. Fans Project will not have anything for a while, on any of the lines, and all of a sudden, boom, here's your near completed pictures of Quick Switch and Six Night out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Although, so, I mean, if it ends up working like Mind Wipe is working right now, it's still going to be probably months away.
Well, yeah. Fans Project 2 is also the company that usually doesn't show us anything until it's almost done.
Which is pretty good of them, in all honesty.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's hard to plan your monetary expenditures when you can't get all your eggs in one basket and say, okay, I want to get this month and this that month. You know, it's really hard to plan how you're going to spend unless you either have a lot of money and can get everything, or just have to write off the whole genre because you can't get any kind of game plan in mind.
Don, yeah. With Transformers, we don't save money.
Not anymore.
I've been eating the same bag of Gushers for 3 years now. Staying alive.
Mastermind Creations also showed off a few things at this toy show. First is the Spartan, which is a not impactor. And apparently they're also going to use the same mold to make the IDW character Turmoil.
I think Turmoil is actually the initial release, and Impactor is the redeco.
Okay, we have a picture of the Impactor version right now. There was the CGI render, I think, for Turmoil and Impactor previously shown. And probably whatever comes out first will just depend on fan reaction to it.
What would his name be? Would it be Wisdom Tooth?
Yes.
Spartan.
Bone Crusher.
Spartan is the Impactor name, apparently. But Wisdom Tooth would probably work better. It's a little more thematically fitting.
Yeah, it's
17-year-old curse. Wisdom Tooth.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad you say Turmoil, and I immediately go to a SWAT Cats villain. That's kind of sad, I'm sure.
It's okay, Don. People watch that?
What
that happened?
Oh yeah, I've got the box set.
I remember it coming on. I just don't remember watching it. Everyone's always like, "Yeah, SWAT Cats." Is like,
"Oh yeah,
really,
like,
that happened."
Episodes of that. There wasn't came, too much.
Didn't it come on after Captain Planet or something?
Sounds right. Packages. I mean, it's hard to say.
It was on TBS. Everything came on after Captain Planet.
I think the most of a. Of a SWAT Cats I ever watched was the backgrounds they used in Aqua Teens.
Anyway, carrying on the Mastermind.
Your mom wheels. Carries on.
What size is that Impactor? Is that a Voyager?
Yeah, it's like Voyager. They're all like Voyager these days.
Yeah, everything's Voyager now. they're also doing Titanica, which is Beast Machine Strika.
What a name. That looks pretty sweet.
The T-Formers article mentions the possibility this will also be retooled into IDW Roadbuster, which I think is really unnecessary at this point, but hey, third party.
That looks like Roadbuster.
A little bit. Well, a little bit more round than I associate with Roadbuster, but yeah.
Well, with that design, could you get maybe an animated Roadbuster if the paints and the...
But animated Roadbuster looks like Ultra Magnus.
Dude...
I think he's talking about a cartoon.
I stand corrected. Roadbuster Ultra Magnus. I stand corrected.
Citizen Stack Repaint.
You know?
Yeah, somebody send that to KFC.
KTC, yeah.
Church's Chicken.
Yeah. Church's Chicken.
Somebody get Popeyes on this.
Hey, Popeyes has good shrimp.
But hey, I mean, even if Strika is not the main motivation for this, it's still kind of cool to see them paying some attention to non-G1 stuff. So, points for that, at least. And especially since that Chinese Kickstarter for the knockoff Universe Onslaught that was going to be a Strika kind of fell through. Has to come out from somewhere, I guess.
Titanica is like a glow wrestler name, isn't it?
You would know better than me, Rob.
Should be.
Finally, from Mastermind, they're doing another version of Terminus Hexatron. They're calling this one the Continuum version, which has a new head mold, chromed weapons, and it is missing its swords.
Now, you know, I love Mastermind. After I got Cyclops, I really started following Mastermind Creations a lot more closely, because that figure really is an impressive piece of engineering. But I have to say, it's just the fact that I thought we were finally getting our Great Shot. I was so psyched to finally get the Great Shot version of that mold so I can have a Great Shot in my collection. It's like, it's another six shot. But if them selling this helps them pay to get the Great Shot done, that's fine. It's just, I want my Great Shot. Sorry.
Yeah, the best summary for this is, hey, Mastermind is going to release every version of Term to Texatron except the one you want.
I mean, heck, they've even done a Shadow Maru.
Yeah.
Maybe Great Shot will be like a con exclusive.
Rob, shut up, please.
It'll be a con exclusive, and there's only five of them.
Rob, you're not helping.
The thing in general with third-party convention exclusives, though, is that they usually travel around more than one convention, so...
It'll be like... They'll call it, like, you know, Six Change Roger, and it'll be available at TFCon Mexico.
Rob, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Why are all your third-party names Roger?
Roger's a darn fine name, sir. And I am speaking logic. All these made-up crap they're saying, and I'm like, you know, Phyllis is a good name.
Phyllis is fine. I just don't know where you're getting Roger from for everything.
Roger is currently on my mind, as Cecil was last week.
Okay.
Sometimes you talk to a snake, and sometimes you ride the dragon.
Roger, Roger.
Exactly.
Roger. So we were talking about the Masterpiece-style Dinobots earlier, and guess what? There's another one! So Fans Toys showed off color images of Soar, which, as you might be able to piece together, is actually their take on Swoop.
Yep. Well, actually, this is actually older news, just updated. Because Soar has been out for pre-order for about 2.5 to 3 months.
More than that.
Okay, yeah. Well, as we were talking about before, with 8 or 9 third-party Dinobot groups out there, it's kind of hard to keep up with what's new and not.
And this is the Masterpiece-styled, not there's a couple Masterpiece-styled, but this is a Masterpiece-styled Dinobot. This is the second one out of the group from Fans Toys. And Fans Toys, just for everyone who, you know, doesn't remember, is the one who did Quake Wave.
And Scoria.
And Scoria was their first Dinobot, which was, you know.
So pretty much guys who've made good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it was
fantastic.
It was a reputation that Quake Wave had, even though I did not want a Quake Wave. I heard pretty much universal good things about Quake Wave, which is why I went ahead. And I picked Fans Toys for my Masterpiece scale Dinobots versus the other companies. Just because I like the way Scoria turned out.
I kind of want a Quake Wave.
It does. I was just going to say, it looks really good.
It looks really good, and in a way, it looks a lot better than Scoria.
It may just be because making a Swoop is a lot simpler on an engineering level, so you don't have to focus as much onto that.
Yeah.
Plus, also, I think you're just going to see that naturally increasing level of competence as they're going through, like what TSC did for Hercules. You know, the Scavenger analog came out, there were some issues, and then the pieces got better as the figure progressed.
By the time they finished Hercules, they stopped learning anything.
Yes.
They started going in the entire opposite direction. Yeah.
And then this actually, it looks like the weapon will actually store on his back, the sword, which is pretty nice.
And also you get two versions of this. You can either get the blue chest to be show accurate, or you can have the red chest to be toy accurate. Which, I've got the blue chest on order, just they have something different.
Ah, yes.
But also, I believe this is the one that you can also change the beak from gold to clear.
Oh. It looks like it in the pictures.
Mm. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you can either have it as gold chrome, or you can have it as clear, like the G1 toy. Hmm. So that's, I'm looking forward
to that. Why would they do that if they're doing a G1 colored toy also?
Just variety. I mean,
because it's easier to put an extra little part in than to put a completely separate chest in.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's true, but I'm just surprised they would include it in the, you know, the non-toy version.
Okay, so Blue Swoop is the Diaclone colors, right?
Or, you know, Diaclone slash Show.
Right, but I mean, toy-wise, Blue was from Diaclone.
Yes.
So, did the Diaclone Swoop toy have a gold chrome beak, or was that clear plastic?
Quick to the Google search.
Well, sake of argument, let's assume the Diaclone one had a clear beak instead of gold chrome, and there's your basis for including both in the package.
That would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that popped into my head, because maybe you want, like, full Diaclone toy accuracy, rather than just going for the distinction between toy and cartoon.
All right, looking at a page, according to the image search by using Google, the blue chested version had a clear cover, but it's gold underneath.
You know, okay, Takara, get your crap in order.
Well, yeah, it's you know,
nonsense.
I just don't think I'll be waiting for Takara MP Dinobots longer than I've been waiting for Headmaster RC, and I'm 44. I ain't got a lot of time to wait left.
I hope you boys want Wheeljack reissued as a Dinobot.
Interesting. Name so finally,
Cecil.
Finally, in third party news, this is more up your alley here, Rob, because we have images of Ollie and Sonic.
Ollie and Sonic. Let's take a look at these, because I'm not even looking at the notes, to be honest with you guys. His name is Ollie and wait a minute. What we got here? Open a new tab. What are you doing, Google thing? Jeez.
It's this like if the internet was just audio only.
This is X-Transbot's Wheelie and some GoBot character that I don't remember.
Turbo.
I don't
go oh, we are talking Ooh, about some
he
good
even
stuff
even comes
here.
With the slingshots. Great.
Yeah,
got now, Wheelie.
It's Masterpiece, Wheelie, and GoBot character that I don't know because I don't GoBot.
Turbo.
GoBot.
Apparently in the pictures he will fit on, what is it, Masterpiece Grimlock?
Totally want this.
Oh, he could probably ride a couple Transformers.
Probably.
And again, this is where I will give them points for like going to GoBots for their mold reuse.
Definitely.
Instead of trying to shoot her into something else G1, because, I mean, give it more attention. Spread out. Do new things.
Yeah, well, they could have made Dion from them like Takara did for E-Hobby.
Or they could do something good like this.
True. This is wonderful. I know people say they really hate Wheelie, but we know they're just saying it. He's all like, Wheelie say, shut your mouth, fool. I love that Ryman talking. I hope this comes
Wheelie
with a box.
You're stupid today.
Yeah, Wheelie's like, you mean I'm from like Clayton County, Georgia. Rhyming when you're talking is pretty awesome here. Like, I don't know. I'm a Mac from way back. My name's Emmett, and I ain't in it.
Well, now this is okay. But now this is
extra. Poet, you didn't know it.
Exactly.
There you go.
And it comes with coins.
If you rhyme
yeah,
when you talk,
yeah,
you're carrying
like,
some
you know,
mad coin,
to be
man.
Toy.
Yeah.
And
X-Transbots did this too with. Was there the one that was Huff or.
Crank
they
and Stacks or. Yeah.
Yeah. The Huffer and Pipes.
They have got the most drugged out names, don't they? This is Huffer and Pipes, and here comes Ollie.
I think it was. Cubex, was that what they were calling themselves that did the one called Huff?
Yeah, that, yeah.
All yeah. The rhyme talking dude with mad coin.
Now, this, I think.
The orange coat.
If I'm not mistaken, I think this is X-Transbox second Wheelie.
Is it?
That they have done.
Oh, did they? No, I don't think. Cause isn't X-Transbox just doing Masterpiece style stuff?
No, well, I'm doing this from memory, but there was a Wheelie that was done in the white packaging with the peach colored wheelie on the front. And I thought that was X-Trans boxes. So if someone knows otherwise, please let me know. But I believe it was them.
The first time I ever heard of X-Trans bots is when they did that add-on set for the Fall Earth Cybertron Bruticus. And then they did, you know, stacks and that.
Okay, Skillrot says...
I guess we lost your video again. Can you restart?
Oh, sure.
X-Trans bot those guys at Family Dollar?
Well, actually, Scaleface says... I'm kind of right that they had one planned, but it never came out. That may be what I was thinking of. I was just getting my companies mixed up.
Well, that's good. We got a better wheelie anyway.
Yeah.
I seriously like this. This is pretty rad. Yeah, this is nice.
Yeah, it is.
This looks
I'd be interested about the quality on it.
I am really... I'm like, how much does this cost, X-Trans bots? It better cost like $5.99, because that's what I'm
like
giving.
No, it's like $60.
X-Transbots, it is not $60. We're talking about wheelie here.
I think they disagree, Rob.
X-Transbots is the ones that, you know, they'll repaint the same mold like 7 times and, you know, have exclusives for it. And
also, look forward to TFCon 2015, where the exclusive will be some wheelie recolor with a name based on a penis joke.
And we'll all buy it. We'll all buy it. For twice as much.
Here's the thing, though. Who could they repaint Wheelie into?
Yeah, I was going to ask that, too.
Turbo.
What would he...
Turbo,
yeah. Okay.
Once you get into the convention...
But you said there's 7 of them, so what else would it be?
Nabisco. At first, I was going to say, for a convention exclusive, they really could just make up something, because it's a con exclusive. But looking at it, there's a... F word. There's a GoBot that has a similar car, not Turbo. It's like a bubble dome car, or is it a Convertor?
You're not thinking of Goodnight, are you?
Goodnight similar, but no, there was another one with a more dome.
Oh, Major Mo.
Major Mo. Yeah. I mean, seriously, there's a million bubble dome top futuristic cars in lines like Convertors and GoBots and such.
They'll just paint it black and call it Nemesis.
Nemesis Ollie. Carrying that mad coin.
Or Hood Ollie. They wouldn't use Nemesis. They'd say Hood Ollie.
Nemesis Ollie sounds awesome.
Call it Hoodie.
Hoodie, yes.
Because, I mean, the head shape kind of looks like it's, you know, a pullover hood.
Yes. Shattered Hoodie.
Nemesis Ollie Shattered is hoodie. A bad guy in Earthbound.
I mean, they could do the Dion thing also.
Maybe. It did look nice.
So, I mean, there's a few options if they want to, you know, dig deep enough.
Then we could finally get a toy of Exoporc.
Excuse me?
There's a mini-con named Exoporc that doesn't have any visual representation other than his name.
Exoporc. I thought you were saying Exoporc. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, I thought he was saying Exoporc, too.
I might have said
Wow, pork. Okay.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one who heard that.
It's like, is that a character from Peter Porkular?
That's his third-party name, yo.
Andrew in the chat said they'll paint it yellow and call it Micro Shafter, which is also true.
I could see that.
Micro Shafter.
And they'll charge $130 for it.
Sounds about right.
Fantastic, guys.
Well, it's an exclusive, so.
Okay, so we've had enough fun with that, so why don't we move on to Q&A with Rob Springer, or Q-A with RFC.
Q-A with RFC.
Okay, so
we need a theme song.
Yeah, who can we pay to make a cheap theme song for us?
Just use the Perfect Strangers theme, but play it backwards.
But don't you hear like demonic messages if you do that?
Thing is, when I try to remember the Perfect Strangers theme song, I just got the Mentos jingle. Like, oh, where did that show go? Why was it on for 6 years?
Because it was TGIF and there was nothing else on at the time.
Oh, God.
So what's the question, Rob?
Let's get some guys on topic. Jeez, every week I have to tell you this. Let's see. Let me pull up the sticky pad. Oh, no. Pull up sticky pad. Move out of the way, Skype. Pull
Rob,
up
I think, I think you're putting too much technology in this. I think what you need to do from now on is copy the questions out onto sticky notes.
That's what I did.
I thought he was saying stinky.
Like post-its, Rob. Post-its.
Well, that's why it's copy-paste on a sticky note, but I had all the way under the recycle bin, had to move like a jillion windows out the way.
Said, not on your computer, he says.
No,
put it,
actual,
like, actually...
actual post-it notes that you can actually just, like, you know, tape up onto your monitor.
Paper!
We'll never find it. Okay. First question from our good friend, TransFanatics, off of Facebook. TransFanatics goes on to ask, hey guys, has there been any news in regards to when the new show is coming out? Other, all caps, than 2015. And Don, tell us a story about your fascination with Headmaster RC. Really, the latter is the meat of this question, I think.
The answer to the first one is no.
It's like, well, its name is Robots in Disguise. It's coming out in 2015. It will be on the hub. You will watch it on YouTube.
We'll have more information probably at New York Comic Con.
Jefferson Darcy hopefully is playing somebody on it. My hopes are high up too.
Okay, but yeah, 2015 is 2015 is when we know it's airing, and that's probably not going to change for a while.
And then they'll just like wait till like spring of 2015, which could be you know anywhere from like you know February, March, April. They might even wait until May to push it out there. So
okay, yeah. Well, like my thought on the timeline for this is the toys are going to show up right around the time of Toy Fair, so the initial part of the toy line is going to be in February, and that'll have a couple months to sit out until the show starts. So I'm thinking, yeah, May or maybe even June of 2015 for the show to start.
I didn't mean
to be right on that, but you know.
that's my guess. How it works, usually.
Yeah.
What they might do is they might have a three-parter or a five-parter.
Oh, yeah, that was the next thing I was going to say. They might have an opening.
You know, two series in a row, yeah.
Yeah, or maybe they may even be on Thinking Outside the Box. There could be a DVD episode included with the larger toys.
Interesting.
Maybe. I mean, it's been done before, but not like a premiere episode.
But it's like
that's the first way to get an episode out there.
They did with the Transformer Prime ones. They had like a little disc that you could buy with some of the toys that just had random episodes.
Yeah, episodes that had already aired. My understanding of what Don was saying was he thought they could use that to like get the show out early, like a preview episode of the show.
Thanks for the burp, Rob.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Not it.
just to have some media out there.
They might. Maybe like a little 5-minute teaser or something. They could do the teaser trailer.
You know, it really is the future now. So what if it was like an online exclusive episode?
I wish they would do something like that.
Yeah, but they have this thing they own called the Hub.
It's
where
on
they
the Hub, and it's online exclusive.
Like, why would they do it?
Because after 3 years on the Hub, they'd like someone to watch
it. It's a BitTorrent exclusive.
BitTorrent exclusive.
Kilby's right.
Well,
I mean,
they could always have a code in the box that unlocks exclusive content if you watch the video.
Oh, that's an idea, too.
Because, you know, they're
might be just too complicated, and they'll just say, you know what, watch it when it comes on the Hub.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate problem with this is, like, okay, so since Transformers Prime ended, since Predacons Rising aired on the Hub, has anybody actually bothered to watch the Hub since then? I haven't.
I watch it.
Yeah.
I like the
Rescue Bots
show.
Oh, okay. I'm not like big into Rescue Bots, so I don't really.
Yeah, I know.
I do recognize that is popular with a lot of people in the fandom, so they do still have a reason to watch the Hub. But outside of that, I mean,
I like,
you know, Transformers is a draw for the non-pony fans.
I like the night programming and also Goosebumps, yo.
Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, I think My Little Pony also would be a draw, but they've kind of wrapped up their season 2, and I think the next season starts in what, January or something. So,
I you guys are gonna call me crazy regardless, but aren't they restructuring the Hub? I recall not that long ago reading about them hiring a new person to head it up for the restructuring of the channel.
I think Margaret actually has left the Hub.
Yes. Yeah, like it's still gonna have like the big shows on it, but I think they're totally making it a new channel with just Hasbro programming, because Discovery Networks, the parent company of it, You know, they've got all sorts of challenges. I mean, they just like made offers to TNA Wrestling. They may be not getting away from Family Channel. Just make it like an entertainment channel.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, you're crazy, Rob.
Crazy like a fox. Anyway,
there was a part two to this question.
Speaking of crazy.
You got some explaining to do, boy.
He's going
to
shoot
explaining
me.
To do, okay. Well, it's not really a obsession, as some people have called it. It's a fascination, per se.
Which is what he called it.
It's an asphyxiation.
But
asphyxiation? Wait, what?
It's an add-on.
But
I love her.
The reason I have requested this character for so many years is because I've always liked standout characters in shows. I've always liked, you know, well-written, well-defined characters. And granted, RC was not one of the best characters, but at the time, for a female character, she did kind of stand out.
She was one.
Yeah. And
this is coming from the person who likes Miko.
You know, when Barry Scott was writing Miko episodes, they were actually good. So, I mean, there's potential with that character, just most people weren't using it right.
Yeah. Chain of Command is all I'm going to say. Anyway. And when I finally had the chance to go to BotCon, and if you look at your movie shelf, without a G1 RC, your movie shelf is incomplete. And from a toy collector standpoint, that is incomplete. If you have a headmaster shelf, your headmasters are incomplete because of the same problem. So not only was a big swath of the fandom that liked the movie seasons, you didn't have that character. If you're a headmaster fan, you didn't have that character. And it seemed like it was the typical boys don't buy girl toys. Now, after a while, that was okay to say that because that was kind of the case to a degree. But when you get to the 90s and you start having a lot more female characters, granted they're not all great, but they are there. Kylie from Ghostbusters, she was pivotal in a lot of things for Extreme Ghostbusters. And, you know, you got all your Disney characters that are females. I'm just saying this is a character that would fill in so many people's collections. It was a good character. And also, it was the ultimate in power fantasies. If you were a kid, I wasn't a kid, but I could see it from that standpoint. I mean, whoa. I'm saying,
yeah. It was his power fantasies. What I just got out of that,
I did laugh out loud. I just want you to know that
Don has always wanted to merge with RC.
No, you're the best, Don. You're the best.
No, I'm just saying. If
there's
kid,
also the follow-up classic there, which was I wasn't a kid. Don has been old forever.
And that boy comes out. Close the windows, Don.
I was just going to say, couldn't it be just as simple as you can't have what you want, you know, or you want something that you can't have, you know?
You always have what you want.
So, Don, here's an important question pursuant to this. Okay. The Chrome Dome recolor concept art, if they'd actually made that as a toy, would that have satisfied you at the time?
No.
Okay. You can continue. I just wondered about that.
Can I ask a question? I'm gonna jump in.
Yes. Hi, Brian.
So, hello. So, Don, question for you. So when you were asking this, and keep in mind, I knew of you long before I knew you. So I don't want to overshadow the fact that to me you're like an internet legend. You're a dear friend, and I love you like family. But you're also an internet legend. So I knew of you years before I met you. But the thing is, you were asking about this long after G1 was dead, and we didn't get G1 homages that often, or reissues, or, you know, like, until, like, Classics 2.0, it was kind of inconceivable that we were going to get more G1 stuff. So why did you ask for a Headmaster RC in this period of G1's, like, total death? And a follow-up question, Don. Okay. Would you have been satisfied if they had released a Headmaster RC that was a bat, or a turkey, or a goose, or a bear, or something during Beast Wars?
Can I just interject here and say I would have liked to see a goose in Beast Wars?
That would have been great.
Yes.
Yeah, that would have been a figure to take a gander at, I know.
Well, I'm down it again.
Don, never stop being you. Always be you. I love that.
Dinobot, get RC out of your mouth.
Although, can we trademark Rob's thing there? I don it again.
A little spinning marquee.
Put that down for our TFCon shirts.
Oh.
Okay.
Don, go ahead.
Oops, I donned it again. Okay. So anyway, basically, it boils down to this. It's a character that there was no reason not to make this character in some fashion, especially now that BotCon existed and we were getting exclusive toys. It just struck me as that after a while, it seemed like it was just they didn't want to do it because they were still hanging on to this whole boys don't buy girl toys. If this character was important enough for them to create in the movie and use in the third season, why not do the headmaster version just because that way you got a definitive version? If you didn't care about the headmaster feature, you could just be your G1 RC for your movie collection. And it just after a while, it just seemed to me like this is the only character from the movie you haven't done that was a main character, or at least a primary secondary character. And that's why I was asking, just because it seemed like, well, we're not going to do it because it's a girl toy. You've got people that want this toy, not just me. After a while, I did stop asking because they knew. And if they didn't know, how?
So, you weren't going to let them go without reminding them enough. That's why you became a legend. Is because of that, right?
I just wanted a toy that I thought needed to be made. To be made and show the fact that, yes, this is a girl toy, but it's a part of an important part of a line that needs to be made. I was just looking for the definitive version so that way we would cover as many people's collection desires. And also, as I was saying about every kid watching the show would like, cool, I get to help out. And if you're a headmaster, that's the ultimate power fantasy, that you can be part of this robot and fighting this intergalactic war for peace and justice and love and everything, but you're still you.
I would say, Matt, I would say that Pretenders would be a little more like ultimate fantasy fulfillment.
But I'm just saying, you know, and then that would have worked into the play pattern. Kids could have pretended they were part of this, because everything you see in science fiction about people becoming robots is this dark dystopian. You lose yourself. You become part of the machine. You become a RoboCop reboot. That's not any good.
But the music, the moment, you know it. You never ever let it go. Sorry.
So it was just the fact that not only if it's a play pattern, the kids could imagine they were part of this giant epic war. It just seemed like it would solve so many problems getting a character that a lot of people want. That's what it was.
I think Hasbro has a deal with the third parties. Like, we'll let you make whatever figures you want. You just don't make a Headmaster RC. You can make an RC. We won't be happy about that one, but do not make a Headmaster RC.
I swear, I do not know this for sure. And I've talked to Aaron Archer several times over the years on various subjects. He's always been a very pleasant man. I love talking to him. But I swear, I think on his old wall there's like, do not make this toy for this guy. It's on his wall. It's like
Don. What he had was the Ghostbusters logo, but with you in it instead of the ghost.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Don, I was just thinking about this while you're while you were talking about that. You and I both know the older fandom around that time was a lot different. The way they behaved. And so I'm like thinking, you know, maybe early 90s people have probably been more like, huh, yeah, at first when you started asking that question. What? And, you know, I wasn't at those first BotCons because I was like, you know, in high school. What was the reaction at first before everyone started going, oh, here it comes again?
Well, it really wasn't that until a lot later. Cause,
yeah.
You know, it was, I remember at 94 or 95 when I asked the first time. I got a lot of people clapping because it was the first time you get any kind of direct contact with that. You could send them letters, you could call them, but this was 96. The internet, 94. The internet was this unknown thing at the time, and we actually had all this. You could talk to people that made your favorite toy,
right?
And a lot of people realized, hey, this is a toy that's not been made.
Yeah, we were so much more innocent back then, too. It was like, hey, that could happen, because, you know, that's just the way we all acted back then. Yeah. So I'm like, that literally, I was just like thinking, like, We started. I think it was around Beast Wars when it started becoming a joke. Because I think around then everyone started getting a little more sarcastic and cynical. But yeah, it really was like, hey, man, that guy's Metal Hulk costume is great.
Can you imagine if we didn't have the internet today, what it would be like? We'd still be going into the store like, oh, I hope I get a Jetfire one day, a really nice one. And then we go in and it's like, ah, it's another Bumblebee.
can you imagine what it would be like buying third-party toys if there wasn't an internet?
Yeah.
I kind of miss those
days. You have to get
a
magazine or something to get it.
I kind of miss those days in some way because, you know, since maybe 10, 15 years ago, we were all like, I know exactly what's coming out, when it's coming out, a year ahead of time. Back then, there was a little bit more of a, hey, they put out Transmetal Prowling Black.
Yeah. I miss that.
Yeah, me too. It was nice.
Well, we've talked about this a lot, like for BotCon. I miss the early BotCon days when John and Carl said, okay, here they're going to announce where the figure was, I mean, where it was going to be, or Wayne.
Mailed it in,
and you knew it was going to be a basic figure, or a Voyager figure, or an Ultra figure, when they were still using the Ultra class. Mm-hmm. So, but that's all you knew was a size class and a price point. And now, if you knew the size class, you could kind of guess, okay, it's going to be one of these three molds, but who's it going to be?
Well, also, it was fun, you know, we had our speculation threads and all that, but also, it wasn't like now where you got to get that Joker registered as soon as you can or you're going to miss out. You could literally have waited till you got there and bought it there.
Yeah.
And if you didn't want it, there was someone going to buy it. They'd buy it back, didn't they?
I don't remember that.
Maybe it was the dealers would buy it from you pretty much instantaneously. I mean, well, it was no problem.
Well, especially after that first BotCon when we all got G2 breakdowns.
Right.
That pretty much said, like, okay, we want to make sure we get these exclusives. You know, and that's because, again, look what that GT breakdown goes for now.
You remember when the exclusive was like something like now it's like, oh, hey, oh, that's it. You know, like back then, I think you remember like I do. It was special. You're like, hey, that's why you still have your breakdown. I know you're like, I've got this. I got this for going there.
Yeah.
The other thing with the old BotCon exclusives that I think really sets it apart is, yeah, you could guess. You know, it'll be within this range of molds. But even when you're doing the, well, who's it going to be thing, most of that stuff was new characters. It wasn't, you know, what existing character is this toy going to be made into like it is now.
You know, now we have like a million conventions a year and all sorts of exclusives and all that. BotCon at the time was kind of like Super Bowl or WrestleMania. It was the highlight of the year. It was like, all right, everything has culminated into this.
Well,
this is it was like just the way it was. Like, all right, next year starts now.
Well, some of the stories I've heard, it sounds like it was WrestleMania.
Depends.
Well, imagine walking in, not knowing what the exclusives are, and they pull out Antagony, or they pull out the X9 Ravage, Tigertron from the X9 Ravage mold. Or they pull out the Jetstorm, the Cyclonus from the Jetstorm mold. I mean, you had no idea what you were getting to. Now, granted, there was some disappointments. You know, it was like 96, the disaster with that exclusive.
I love that exclusive.
Well, but the crap we went through at 96 was not worth the exclusive.
You mean you didn't like your sheet cake, Don?
Okay,
and your warm water.
Okay, I'm going to tell this story. I hope that's okay, Brian and Chris, because in 1996, the show was run by another company. Don and Carl ran 94. Raksha ran a very tight convention, 95. Very good convention. 96 was run by another company. And the disaster. There was no name tags. They had to run out and buy "Hello, my name is" name tags.
And after a while, it was just pieces of paper.
Exactly.
writing on their shirts.
Yeah. If you pay,
you just walk in, man.
If you paid for early admission to the dealer's room, you got a gold star to stick on your. I think it was a gold star or something to know that you paid early. So that means anyone could have run out and bought a gold star and got in early. The 10-year anniversary showing of the movie was...
Everyone look at this videotape for a minute. Let's sing happy birthday to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was on VHS tape. The cake was served without utensils or plates on a napkin with tap water.
Served from that thing from McDonald's. Like they didn't even get the punch that came with it.
Yeah, it was just a bowl of water and a plastic cup. So we went through a lot for that Onyx Primal. That Onyx Primal wasn't worth what we went through.
I have in one of my old zines an ad for RM Transcon 2 put on by the same guys.
Oh yeah.
Now, and it's just like you open it and look at it and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
See, like this isn't charming.
Yeah. Well see, that's why 97 was such a huge year. John and Carl actually have gone on record. They went in debt for that convention because they were trying to save the brand.
Right.
But that's when you had Stan Bush come out. And his crew to do the live concert. You got the CDs of the Protoform sessions and all that. You got the Fractal and Rat Trap set, which I have here from last week, just in case anyone's seen it.
Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So yeah, I've segued off a cliff, and I apologize. But it's having that direct access then. Meant you could finally get figures that I would still want, like the stuff they showed at 94 that was canceled for G2, like the GoBots Racing Rig.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that we'll never get.
You know, it's just, it's the way, I think you and I could go on forever about how it was just such a different time then. Like, it's almost.
I'd actually like to hear that as a proper show topic at some point.
Man.
Because, like,
with a long episode.
With the two of you in the same place, well, it's a long episode already, but with the two of you in the same place, I mean, there's a lot of field you can cover, and I, for one, find it really interesting to listen to. Yeah, you know, having not experienced a lot of that myself.
Well, you were around for a bit there, too, there, weren't you, Oldimus Prime?
Yeah, but 97-ish?
99, yeah.
But, I mean, there is still a lot of stuff that happened before that. And, I mean, I didn't go to any BotCons until 2012. So, you know, it's all stories to me, and it's always interesting to hear. Why don't we move on to the next question, Rob?
Okay. Our friend Greg Sullivan, he's from both podcasts, Shattercast Uncut and Good Morning Cybertron, good friends of mine and of the show. He goes on to ask, I have a question for Q&A. It's Q to the A. Of all the Grail gotten have it fig, of all the you know Holy Grail gotta have it figures you finally got, which was the biggest letdown?
I know mine right off the bat. As soon as I saw this question, I was like, I know exactly what it is.
Kronos?
we've talked about it. It was that the Titanium Ultra Magnus figure. Of course, it's diecast, and the Titanium figures, even with all their faults, I really enjoyed that line of, you know, of toys. And that G1 Ultra Magnus was like impossible to find in the stores, and I never found it in the stores, and I could never justify going on eBay and paying like $100 to $150 for however much they were going for because they were so rare. So I was actually at OmegaCon, and I found one for like, or it might have been Shardicon, one of those cons, and I found it for like, I think I paid like $25 or $30 for it. And I was like, I saw it, and I was instantly like, take my money. And I got it, and I played with it for one or two times, and I was like, oh my god, this figure is horrible. Just like, I can't believe I wanted this for, you know, it was probably a good 5-6 years, and then I finally got the figure, and I was like, well, I'm glad that feeling's finally gone, but now I'm left with this feeling of regret.
Oh, no. The bacon of regret. Oh no.
Man.
Put
this behind something else.
Yeah, Donald, I have a great answer for this, because he has basically everything.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm trying to think. Because my Holy Grails have been pretty big figures and stuff that I knew I wanted to spend the money for.
Stuff that ain't came out yet.
I guess my biggest regret in general, it may not be a holy grail, but was buying Supreme Cheetor when it came out at full retail.
That's a big kitty.
It's a big kitty. I guess that's just my biggest regret is actually even buying the thing. Because it's just crap.
I was unnecessarily proud of it, too, for some reason. Like, man, that thing is huge. Oh, God, it won't stand up.
Yeah, a figure that big, with that big, with four paws,
it was like
will not stand in cat and cheetah mode.
You were like,
standing him up, he's like,
it's like so excited. People are like talking crap. Oh, they're just hating. They're just hating. I finally got one. Yes, look how big this is. This is what the? It keeps doing this karate thing, and his missiles fall out. Toy is horrible, man.
Yeah. So that was.
I'm laying on my cable bill because of this toy.
So that was probably my biggest toy purchase regret.
Yeah, because like most of your Grail stuff, you got like a long time ago.
Before they really became, it was just stuff that.
Yeah.
The only Holy Grail after the fact would either be the clear Godfire Convoy set that was a Toys R Us Japan exclusive.
And man, is that a letdown!
And a Blackfire Convoy.
So, less of a letdown.
What is it about you and Kilby and hating R.I.P.?
Look, I like Fire Convoy well enough, but, you know, add that Ultra Magnus in and it's terrible.
I'm going to send you a box of Massey.
That sounded horrible.
Yeah. Is this like a box Schrodinger of thing where I won't
I'm
know
sure
if that
that is
the live
fact.
Or not until I open the box?
No,
that
I
is our new catchphrase.
I will send it to you. And it'd be labeled from Hasbro Toy Shop.
That's get fine, because that. I barely ever order from Hasbro Toy Shop, so I'll know not to open it.
We'll get our announcer to do it. RFC, we'll send you a box full of Massey.
How about y'all?
You know, I don't really have any, like, Grail stuff I've ever pursued, really.
How about Ranger stuff? Or Sentai stuff that was just a big letdown? Other than Tor.
I don't really mind Tor that much, honestly.
You know, whenever I've gotten something like that, it wasn't so much that I've had one that was a letdown. I think I pretty much knew what to expect. It was more of a, well, what do I look forward to now? What's next for the big I have to have thing, you know? I think that's just like a mindset you have when you buy this stuff. It's like, this is the target, and I've got, well, crap. It's like day after Christmas. What do I do now?
As far as mine goes, I was actually not let down with the toy at all. It was my G1 Fortress Maximus. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that I finished piecing one together on eBay about a month before they announced the free issue.
Oh, man.
Although, I mean, like, on the same token, though, you know, you have with that Fortress Maximus the memory and the knowledge that you put a lot of effort into doing this. It's special. Mm-hmm. It's not just a reissue that you got off the shelf. You know, you put a lot of time into getting your Fortress Maximus.
You know, in my Fort Max, I was really looking forward to get him. I got him right out of college, and, you know, he was like an unobtainable thing, you know. And then I wasn't let down so much as the fact that he brutally beat me all night while I was trying to play with him. It was like, you know that baby?
How does that happen?
Well, you know that baby hands thing you do while you're playing with your toys to make sure you don't break anything or whatever? That basically, when you're holding a very heavy toy, means you're going to drop it in your lap once or twice.
Oh,
yeah.
Just, know where you're going with this.
Yeah, and let's just say, without stereotypes, I sit my people style. So it landed in a certain area. And then, like, the way the thing folds together to make a... When you fold them up into city mode, you know how you fold his legs up and it kind of... The thigh kind of folds up into his leg a little.
Yeah.
It can't do levers inside into them. Yeah.
Mine is still really tight, that hinge, and it totally snapped and gave me a blood blister straight down my.
Oh, God.
Like, it literally busted, and I was like bleeding. I'm like, I wanted you for so long, and you have hit my junk, bruised my arm. Right. I am putting you down.
You said two of the worst things I've ever heard tonight. and that's
and they're like on completely opposite ends of the spectrum.
So I just want to jump in real quick and say that for me,
yeah, yours is probably Masterpiece Hot Rod, right?
That's what I was going to say.
You're exactly right. Masterpiece Hot Rodimus. You know, while it's not a toy, you know, as soon as I found out that thing was coming out, I pre-ordered it. I love Rodimus Prime. I love him, love him, love him. I love Season 3, and I vastly prefer Rodimus Prime to Optimus Prime. So as soon as I got MP01, I said, this is great, but you know what? It would be better if it was Rodimus Prime. So,
nope.
So for, what, 10 years almost, I really yeah. wanted a Masterpiece Rodimus Prime. It's the worst. I will never forgive myself for that.
I have a large, expensive Action Master Rodimus Prime.
Yes. That's exactly. You can
transform it, it will still fall apart.
Yes.
Yeah, mine's good. I'm not looking, though.
Didn't his have its shoulder, like, blow out in the shelf?
On the in glass. It was behind glass.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh. Sounds like Cosmic
Rust. I've actually seen people comment in various threads of how after they got Masterpiece Rodimus, whichever version, they actually brought the titanium one back out of storage and put it back on the shelf instead of him.
I only have a couple titaniums, and Rodimus Prime is one of them, and it stays on a shelf. It's literally like a foot away from me over there right now.
It's not a bad figure.
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not. It needs the torque collapse more, but, I mean, build-wise, it's not bad. John, you got a lot of stuff. Have you had the Holy Grail Gone Bad experience?
GT Slingshot. Because I opened him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's, like, literally nothing you can do to not break him once you open him, turns out.
Thanks to Jake, I got one. He is in one piece still.
Have you touched him in like 10 years?
I touched it last week.
I was just thinking about the gold plastic syndrome and like the guys with the Black Xerix.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I want it so bad, son of a
story. That's why I keep hoping. That's why I keep hoping for an encore reissue.
Yeah.
Something so we can, because we need more of these encores out from these molds before we lose them completely.
You know, this is a horrible, horrible, horrible joke, but we should do it. Next time we go to one of these cons and they have, like, Black Xerix or, like, a G2 Slingshot or something in one of those glass display cases, like, overnight sneak it out and replace it with a pile of gold glitter.
Rob, you
like a GoPro.
You are evil. That is evil.
He just, like, states away. Like the Sonic carrying of the screaming.
Okay, so Rob, one more question I think we got today.
Yeah. One more. Sent to us during recording from our good friend Phil Bailey, Computron 2. He's in the chat. Bailey goes on to hang on. Let me scoot this sticky note down so I can read it. It is, hi RFC. What do you think is the likelihood of there ever being a Shattered Glass ongoing series after Rid and Morden Meets the Eye concludes? Thank your friend, Computron 2, who will cut me if I call him Phil one more time.
Well,
I don't know if they'll do a Shattered Glass after Robots in Disguise and Morden Meets the Eye. I guess it depends, because that's so far into the future. I mean, who knows? Anything could happen. I mean, you know. But we're hoping that, you know, it goes for a long time, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's a good question, though. I mean, I guess it just depends on who's writing next.
You know, yeah. I want to be like, no. But then, like, you say that and you're totally right. Because I didn't like Drift until Morden Meets the Eye. You know, it takes a good writer to sell something, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the kind of thing, too. I don't really want to conceptualize the time when James Roberts and John Barber aren't writing the books.
Yeah, that's the other thing is it's like, no, I'm not going to go there. I can't. My brain will not go around, right. Wrap around that.
Like the only way
the Dark Ages would, again.
The only way I would like be able to internalize that is if like one of them did a handoff to Margaret Scott.
Well, the thing is also the whole hating on Shattered Glass is strange because we all say BotCon's in it for the money, yada, yada, yada. How many of us remember the years and years and years of Mirror Universe Transformers fiction that went on forever? That was like a commonplace in this fandom. You know, that was pretty much legitimizing the old tentpole, you know?
Plus, I don't actually remember that, but okay. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Plus,
Google group that thing.
Yeah. Plus also the Shatterglass fiction that we have gotten from FunPub has been a lot more interesting than what you would think it to be. So
I don't dig the fiction as much, but I got to admit when I see like some of the way they look in drawings and toys and all, I'm like, I do dig the way that looks.
The other problem with this too is that like, yeah, if they wanted, if Hasbro wanted to have an ongoing Shattered Glass, they would be taking that property away from FunPub. FunPub wouldn't be able to use
that
anymore at all.
That's the next thing.
Because they came up with the concept of Nexus. Which one's the name of the
Nexus Maximus?
Is it the Maximus or the Prime?
It was Nexus Maximus because
Prime away from FunPub because they wanted to fit it into their own version of the original 13 Transformers, and FunPub had to drop the storyline they were building with that because it was off-limits to them. Suddenly, Shattered Glass would be the same thing if they wanted to turn it into an ongoing series.
You know, guys, if we want to solve this problem, all they got to do is put out a one-shot. You know what I mean? Just like Hasbro, taking things away from the fans!
Well, you know, again, I'm not reading More Than Meets the Eye on R.I.D. I'm not reading it yet, but
you should be.
Should be,
it's
yeah.
It's a book.
Yeah. Aren't the
especially
first
right now, if anything was going to get close to a Shattered Glass, it would be right now.
Yeah. And aren't the first, like, five trades of each series pretty cheap on Comixology right now?
Well, they did have a sale recently.
They always have a sale.
And actually, no, it was like 3 years since they had the last sale, so.
There's always something, though. I mean,
well, like comics, they've got the other titles
like,
and stuff.
But what was it, $50 or $60 for the first 30 issues of both books?
Yeah, it was something
that
like
was just,
that.
That was just recently.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
They could, if they wanted to test the waters without going whole hog, is they could have a character from More Than Meets the Eye or ID, whichever one, Cliff Jumper, if they wanted to follow the same pattern that FunPub used, or Rewind, Deject, whoever. And they could maybe be catapulted into a Shattered Glass universe for a 4-issue miniseries just to see how it does, and then get that character back to the regular continuity, say, minutes after they left. So if you read the Shattered Glass and you like it, they can say, hey, can we see more of this down the road? And if it doesn't do well, it doesn't affect the timeline. Because he was only gone a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
I think, ultimately, rather than taking Shattered Glass, the existing property, they would do something more like what Don is saying and do a Mirror Universe concept original to IDW to explore that concept rather than removing what FunPub has already done and working within that framework. Because there's been a lot done to that already, and it would be easier just to start over on a similar line and probably do it better.
And personally, I would love to see them do that. Same thing, but instead of Shattered Glass, Robots in Disguise, Car Robots Universe. Because I'm saying it'd be kind of weird. You know, they could have the same character be catapulted into a Robots in Disguise from Robots in Disguise. So
can we just focus on XV's face right now?
Baseball. It's like, wait, a R.I.D. based on R.I.D. in R.I.D. terms.
Okay, so for one thing, they're dropping the Robots in Disguise subtitle from that book in like 2 months.
Okay,
so that's the thing that's happening. So that shoots one of your legs out from under you, Don.
Well, I've been asking. Could you remember when Dreamwave you could send in the card if you wanted to be either a Beast Wars series or a Car Robot series?
Yeah.
I was one of the 6% that voted for the Car Robot series. The other 94% voted Beast Wars.
Well, you got a good one shot out of it. Oh, he hit that hard.
I want more.
You know how Don, you can tell Don's single? He's drinking out of a 2-liter.
I thought it was like Jägermeister, that face he just made. More. Slow down, you drunk.
But I'm saying, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make it run long. It's just they could do that for a lot of different concepts. Have an audience affiliation character from the existing book go into this universe and have the character come back right after they left, so that way they're not affecting their timeline any other than that character's personal experiences. And then
it could be a great storyline in an existing book. I don't think in any case they would go to the existing Shattered Glass universe, and I don't think they would actually make like a full on going out of it, because it's easier just to play in the playground they've already put together and not try to build something new unless they specifically need like reboot material, which they don't. They have not done a full out reboot since they started. They just like soft reset.
Reboots, yeah. Or just, make it make sense eventually.
we got great writers on all the books right now, and if one of them would like to explore that concept, I would love to see it. Just, no, not an ongoing. That's my take on it.
It's people like you that people like me can't have Regeneration 1 ongoing.
I'm glad.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Silverhawk, partly metal, partly real, mighty warriors with the powers to protect space from all evil. Mumbo Jumbo and Sky Shadow attack the Silverhawks.
Prepare the Mirage! Battle Station!
The Mirage figures in Sky Shadow sold separately. The Mirage fires its missiles and its hot seat.
Miss!
Copper Kid and Steel Will release as the Mirage disappears.
Sky Shadow and Mumbo Jumbo, you're surrounded!
Says who?
Says me! And the Mirage!
Silverhawks!
In the near future, Doc Terror and his cyborg companion Hacker unleash their forces to conquer Earth. Only one force can stop this evil, a handful of brave men. In specially created exo-frames, they can be transported anywhere to fuse with incredible assault weapon systems beamed down from the space station Sky Vault, becoming man and machine, power extreme. Max Ray, brilliant sea operations commander. Jake Rockwell, rugged land operations specialist. Ace McCloud, daring air operations expert. Whatever the challenge, they are ready. The Centurions!
Radio Free Cybertron has teamed up with Kokomo Toys and Collectibles in Kokomo, Indiana. If you're in the Kokomo area, visit our store for a huge selection of new and classic toys. Visit online at www.kokomotoys.com for our address and store hours. While you're there, check out our listing of pre-order items, as well as visit our eBay store. Visit us at www.kokomotoys.com. That's KOKOMOTOYS.com. We're also on Facebook.
All right, so that will be our show for this week. Extremely long, though, it was. Rob's already had to duck out on us to go get some sleep, but you can find him on Twitter at RoboRobSpringer. And he's on Tumblr, too. Is that also RoboRobSpringer?
I believe so. Or no, it's...
We'll go with that.
Google RoboRobSpringer in Tumblr, and I'm certain you'll find something. Yeah. And he's also the main contributor to our blog at tfradio.net/blog.
You might find something you don't want, too.
True.
Well, yeah, it is Tumblr.
It's Tumblr, yeah.
99% of Tumblr is something you don't want.
Robo Rob? Come on, man.
So, Amy, where can we find you when you're not here with us most of the year?
Most of the time, I'm on Twitter, so you can find me at Lady of Wreck.
Diecast?
Most of the time I'm on Twitter. when I remember it exists, I'm like, oh yeah, that Twitter's a thing, and I should be active on that. But I'm at diecast2 on Twitter. And if you can find me on Facebook, I'm on Facebook somewhere. Some people have found me, but that's kind of like a hunt and find treasure, you know, like, ooh, I found him, because it's not as easy. So,
John, how about you? Where can we find you at?
That John D on Twitter.
And Don, of course, you are HMRC for you are everywhere, aren't you?
I'm sorry, I just had a jet fly over. What was that, sir?
What are you underneath the airport?
Flush the toilet.
No, I'm on the flight path to Norfolk, and we get fighter jets.
For some reason, I see the jet transforming in front of him, and then like somebody in the background rapping about it. So
it's Starscream.
Yes, jet transformation, Transformers. Okay.
I can be found on Twitter at HMRC.
Your bots are taking their shots.
Yes, Don, you're HMRC4EVR everywhere.
Everywhere, pretty much, exactly. I'm also on Twitter, Facebook. That's pretty much it.
And, of course, Melvar is too smart to be on social media, so, you know. Props to you. And Kilby whores himself out wherever he can, so just look for, like, Brian Kilby or B. Kilby or whatever. And follow us at TF Radio and Superhero_Time. And do we have any other shows that are running right now that have Twitters?
Soundwave has a Twitter.
Audio Nights Theater, which is Ninja Dave's podcast or his project that he's working on. He's doing, like, a roll call for that, which is a audio drama of More Than Meets the Eye.
It's good. You got to listen to it. It's awesome. I think they're up to like what issue 4?
Issue 3.
Or
I think
about to I think publish about to out 4. Yeah. Yeah.
They need to get McFeely in there when they start getting.
Yeah.
And
I suppose you guys heard that one, huh?
Oh yeah. Oh. I said the minute I saw it, I put on Twitter, if IDW does not start doing audiobooks with him doing the readings for Megatron and Ravage, they're missing out on a gold mine.
But yeah, you can find us on Facebook. And did we actually get our own Tumblr for RFC?
Yeah, I've had one for like 4 years.
Do you do anything with it? Because you never mention it, really.
I was posting updates to the site, but we only have like 31 fans, and that like never changed. So yeah, I kind of stopped. But if one of you guys want to do it, you can have fun with that. So.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
And, of course, YouTube, which we can get to that through tfvideo.net still, can't we?
No. I think I let that domain go.
That's a shame. That's kind of a shame, dude. You need to buy more novelty domains.
I'm about to let blah blah Digimon go.
Oh, yell at Ken for that, not me. I think that's enough plugging and, you know, bitching about people. And that'll be our show. So thanks for joining us on the live stream. And remember, we stream live every Wednesday night around 8:30 Eastern with pre-show at least half an hour before.
And we normally end at like 9:30.
Yes, it's usually not 2 hours long.
Well, usually I don't have, you know, a show with seven people either.
Or no, usually, up until recently, Rob hasn't been on the show. So it's an adjustment.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we had a pretty full house, and it didn't happen.
That's true.
I was pretty confident up until the point when you kept adding more and more people to the show.
But what a great cast!
It's great having everybody here. Don't get me wrong.
The fish couldn't make it, but maybe next time.
Yep.
Sorry. Great job, XV.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a good one.
All right, bye. Take care.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
jeez, when are these guys ever going to move out of their parents' basements?